Welcome to episode 3 of Those 80s Gays. I'm Jenny P. Warner.
I'm Brent Sheriff.
And we're kicking off straight off where we left off last week, which was, what, wearing shorts to dinner. But I think we've covered that subject as much as we possibly can.
And we talked about music, and it just dawned on me too, because then I just sung my name just then. I think I'm one of those people who sing things, like even just before, like right before the show, I was just belted out like, my girl. I'm not sure if that's copyrighted or not, but just like, I just come out with like, I sing what I'm saying, or I just randomly throw out some tunes. I can't sing.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You know that.
We've seen you at karaoke, and can I say, hats off to you for when you do karaoke, you do it completely live, brother.
Let me tell you,
we were at Sporty's the other week, and it was karaoke night, and everyone gets up. I don't generally like to sing because you don't get in-ear microphones, so I can't gauge my pitch.
But you do get Glen 20 on your microphone.
You get Glen. We saw the karaoke lady Glen 20ing Fanny the other day too.
She was.
But you can't hear yourself sing. I don't think the room was necessarily made for the right acoustics.
Yes.
You know, you might not be a singer. I am a singer. Like, I've got a single that went to number 38 in Portugal.
Well, look.
Yeah.
You have some talents.
Yeah. And the drunker I get, the even more famous and the bigger back catalogue I have. So, we were at Sporty's. It was karaoke night, and this fucking idiot, I'm judging.
You tell your story and I will give you my opinion at the end.
Well, he got up and he sang Richard Marx
Hazard. Great track, song. By the way. 1992, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mum's got the CD single.
Oh, it was a good song. But the karaoke version had a backing track. And all you heard, because his microphone was turned down quite low, as so were the next few singers. So all you heard was the backing track, which made it sound like,
with a muffle on it,
he could sing really well. And he was a bit of a show pony. And I had the shits because karaoke should be
bad.
Yeah, karaoke should be bad. Karaoke should be cringe. In fact, I'm going to start a new podcast called Cringe Me Karaoke.
Cringe with a K?
Yes. Oh, no, maybe not with a K, because that multiple K's in a row could sound terrible.
Oh, my God. So, I had to drive to Toowoomba the other day, and I wanted to get the quickest way. But I know how to get there, obviously, but I wanted the quickest route just in case there's traffic or whatever. So I just said to Siri, you know, give me directions to Toowoomba. I just left home and it said, getting you directions to Club Cruise.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's Toowoomba Club Cruise. I mean, maybe I'm not always articulate my words all the time.
You sure it wasn't just going on your history?
I wouldn't need navigation there.
No, you wouldn't.
Just close my eyes and follow instincts.
Back it up, girl. Back it up.
Just when you mentioned, you know, K, it just brought back memories of the other day.
Love.
But I will say this about karaoke. So on one hand, your story's true. Like, absolutely true, you know, to the detail.
Oh, 100%.
But really, all they were playing was the Richard Marx music video with some lyrics on the screen, with his full track playing. So, I'm not sure if he knew what he was getting himself into. If he did, though, he should be banned.
I don't think he did know what he was getting himself into, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that.
Mm.
I think he generally thought he was going to get up there and sing. But the fact that he could hear what we could hear, which was a full backing track, and he played up like he was, you know, Australian Idol, runner-up.
Yeah.
2004.
He wasn't bad looking though.
No.
It's probably added to the frustration.
Yeah, I was really cranky.
The show pony.
I think that's what killed my vibe.
Yeah.
Because not long after that, I was like, I'm going home.
Got out of there. That's true. The other thing about karaoke that, look, it doesn't, on one hand, it annoys me. On the other hand, I have admiration. It's those people who go to karaoke and they're actually really good singers.
Mm.
Like, I actually enjoy listening to them sing. It's actually quite fun. However, when it comes to me, like, what if I'm the next name and I'm the one called out? And, like, let's be clear, when I'm up there singing, I hope that the music is fucking loud relative to the microphone, but I am singing like this, and then singing like this, and then singing like this. There is no in-between. My voice breaks. I can't do it. And there's people up there, and they just got every fucking little note just, like, Mariah'd to the max.
Do you think, though, a question on your observation of how you sing... Do you actually believe in your mind that you do change pitch while you're singing?
Oh, I know what I'm doing. Every pitch is a conscious choice. But I've only got two.
Yeah, because it's...
it's monotone.
It's very monotone.
Or ultra monotone.
Listen, it's, neither of us are the best singers.
I just want everyone to know that it is hard being me.
Well, it's hard being all of us, like, quite frankly.
But for me, it's hard being me.
What's hard about being you?
Everything. Karaoke is a challenge. I get judged for what I wear.
Oh my god.
I get judged for my karaoke. I get these little snide remarks about, that pitch. You know, I have a rattle in my speaker of my door of my car, which is not that different to the rattle of the speaker at Sporty's. Coincidentally, they're not the same speaker. But, you know, like, I have challenges in my life.
Can I just say that was one thing I was thinking of this week is how I measure how much I love someone. I grew up in a family where the more we take the piss out of each other and put each other down shows the level of love we have for each other.
Yes.
So by me knocking your pitch, your dress sense.
I didn't say it was you, but if you have been, you ought to fess up.
Oh, listen, I own up to anything. I'll put my hands up to it. But the more I do that should indicate to you how much I love you.
Yeah.
So, shut the fuck up and get over it.
But on that topic, actually, that's an interesting thing to bring up, because I'm very similar, and I think we obviously know that about each other. So, you know, poor Craig falls victim to it, but I think he also plays a good game himself.
Oh, he's dry. Craig's very dry.
I always, I guess, having grown up similar to yourself, maybe it was a Redlands thing, I'm not sure, but, you know, if I'm putting you down, if I'm teasing you and making fun of you, it's absolutely from an affectionate place.
Yes.
Because if it's not affectionate, you would definitely know the difference. And I'm probably be more willing to bite my tongue anyway, because there's no point speaking up if you haven't got something nice to say about someone, right?
Agreed.
So, but I actually find throughout my interactions, and probably more in the workplace than outside of work, because you can choose who your friends are, but I often do not connect, that not everyone grew up that way. And some people genuinely get offended.
Agreed.
Offended at that stuff. And it blows me away because, like, they don't quite reciprocate. And then I'm like, is there a problem here? But and actually, they just
don't get it. And then I think they don't like me.
Correct.
But really, they're just, it's a misunderstanding. They don't understand my humour.
Yeah.
They don't understand. And I'm very blunt.
Yes.
But you can tell that I am very blunt. Oh. I've got to tell you.
Any examples that you want to share?
You should know quite a few of them by now. you know when I'm giving you just a ribbing.
Yes.
That's a double B, not a double M.
For her pleasure? Or for his pleasure? For someone's pleasure, anyway.
But I think if I genuinely dislike you and I'm really giving you a tongue lashing, you'll know, because there's venom in that.
Yeah.
But no.
And your venom does burn a little bit.
I don't think you've ever experienced my venom. No, I really don't.
I think I've been witness to it. Oh, I don't think I've experienced it. I mean, I remember being... Craig and I, poor Craig, we talk about him, but he's got no voice in this conversation, but he sponsors us.
He might be on the show one day, we're just waiting for our sponsorship deal.
Sponsorship wouldn't go astray now.
Yeah.
But I remember we all went to the beat, this is quite a while back now, actually, and I don't remember what was going on that night, but I think, you know, a few other people that were there that we knew, whatever, and Craig and I were genuinely having, like, a close... You know, I mean, I'm in your face when I'm talking to you. We established that last episode. But, you know, I was talking to him and we were... You know, I think he was talking about how he found a bar person attractive or something, or someone at the bar attractive. And you just turned your head sharply and went, "You're talking about me! Stop talking about me!" And Craig and I, in a venomous way, and we knew it wasn't like that banter, and we were just like, "We're fucking not..." I don't think you stayed that long that night.
I can't remember. I honestly
But I remember the venom. Yeah. So I have been witness to it, and partially on the receiving end. But I mean, compared to what other people have experienced, it's probably nothing.
Listen, I mean, as I've gotten on in years, I'm not that venomous anymore. I pretty much just walk away from situations.
You're a bit of a softie these days.
I am a bit of a softie.
You have changed.
I really bite my tongue a lot more these days than what I probably used to.
Yes.
That dinner we were talking about in the last episode, yeah. I bit my tongue a fair bit through that night.
I think throughout the duration of that night, like, there were, you know, because we were multiple venues, multiple people interacting with at different times, even my tongue was bitten. But yeah. Again, if I've got nothing nice to say, why say anything at all?
Yeah, and I think you've really got to cross me to make me get venomous with you. You've yes. either got to really... And I'll probably take more... If you're a bitch to me, I'll probably take more of that, but if I witness you being a bitch to a friend of mine...
Yeah.
My mother instinct comes out straight away, and the venom, it just flows.
I actually did that in high school. So I've obviously had a similar trait forever and a day.
Right.
Anyway, and look, a friend of mine who I befriended, I think I might have been in year five, so I was 10 years old. Anyway, flash forward to high school, her and I are close friends. We chat every now and then. She's over in New Zealand now, but also a fellow Janet Jackson fan, I might add.
Right.
Anyway, so she left. And, you know, in friendship circles, like I was in a fairly good-sized friendship circle in high school, and there's always animosity. There's always someone misinterpreting a look or what someone has said. Sometimes it is. There is a bit of viciousness in that, but anyhow... Anyway, when she was moving, she left and moved back to New Zealand where she was born. One of the people, like, sort of made... I can't remember the full detail, but she basically made comments insinuating, I'm glad she's gone, blah, blah, blah. And I let it rip. And she was sitting right next to me, and I just turned to her and went, you can't fucking sit here ever again. You're not sitting with me. You're not a real friend. You've got fucking problems, blah, blah, blah. We're 15.
Wow.
And she literally just sat there and started to, like, get watery eyes, start going red, and start, like, physically, like,
convulsing
in being so upset. And she got her bag and walked away. Because at that point, she had not... I think there had been some animosity between her and the rest of the group, and we were all sort of sitting separate. So I was kind of... Me and a few others were all she really had at that point. So... But I just let it rip, and I was like, I'm fucking proud of that. In hindsight, I probably went a bit too hard, a bit too far, because that's probably traumatic for someone, and I do realise that. And actually, now as I'm speaking, I'm thinking of more stories from even earlier in my past.
So you were the mean girl in high school.
I wasn't.
You can't sit with us.
I didn't tolerate.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The difference. I didn't tolerate, and I'm not saying the way I went about it was right. And even to this day, I'm actually friends with her on Facebook. We don't really talk, but I know she's actually a beautiful person. I know that deep down. I never actually told her that. So if you're listening, this is why you should listen.
So you're going to apologise to her if she's listening?
Maybe I should actually reach out and go...
Do you know what? She's probably...
Episode 3, darling.
Yeah, or she'll probably listen to her and go, what the fuck are you talking
about? And
then
we'll have some more geographic listeners because she's not in Queensland.
Oh, don't say where she is.
She ain't Canada. That's all I'll say.
It'll pinpoint
that's
her.
That's all I'll say. Anyhow, but just on that note, I know I'm doing all the talking here, but in primary school... This was definitely a borderline bullying situation, both what I was being a victim of, but then what I did back. And I won.
Circle of
hate. So this guy joined our class in year six. I remember his name vividly, but I won't say it. But I won't deny that in the past I did look him up on Facebook and couldn't find him, so right. It made me feel like the worst could happen that way. Never know. Anyway, so we befriended each other because he was new to the school and I was the one allocated to show him around, so he sort of joined my group of friends. Seemed like a really nice guy. Bit of a backstory there. I think he actually had childhood trauma, but anyway, I won't get into that. But he really found it funny to do shit to me in front of other people.
Oh,
he got
friends.
Off and laughed so much when he did that. So one day, we're sitting down, and I opened my lunch, my beautiful peanut butter sandwich that my parents had made me. I was 11, I was just near 6. And he gets the sandwich, and he rubs it all over my face. And puts peanut butter and mushed up bread. So not only do I have that all over my face, but I've also got no lunch to eat now. So me being me,
right?
I go home and I plot whatever shall I do to get back at this person? So I went into school the next day, literally, with a document drawn up. It's the I Hate Insert Name Club. And I went around to everyone and said, I don't like this person. Do you like this person? I don't think you should like this person. He does this. He says that. Sign this. I got a list of other students who signed this petition going, I hate insert his name club. And they all joined the club. And he absolutely lost his shit. He was so upset. Everyone started coming to me and going, I want him to take my name off that, take my name off that. He never ever went and dobbed on me or anything for it, but he never came back.
What do you mean he never came back?
He never came back to school. My teacher, who didn't like him either,
signed it?
No, she may as well have. She certainly wasn't disendorsing, and I'm sure she caught wind. A couple of days later, this is one of my primary schools, I went to two, they had phones in the classrooms. I'm not sure if all schools had that, but anyway, the phone rings and he had been absent for a couple of days. And she gets a call. She's like, okay, yep, no worries. And I remember her doing a fist pump motion in the air and got off the phone. She's like, everyone, he's not returning to this class. And he never came back to the school.
I'm wondering if you haven't been able to find him on Facebook because he...
We don't need to go there. We don't know what happened, but we don't know.
That's cruel. You're
it is cruel.
Boy.
No, but it was simply, but I was you... I was his genuine friend and he did things to torment me.
And he bullied you and you became the bigger bully.
I'm like a cat in that sense. Like it built up and then I plotted the best way to absolutely go...
Annihilate someone.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Wow.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, if he's listening, I'm sure
especially
you're very
especially at
sorry.
That age when you already know you're a little bit different and you're copying that.
Yeah.
Anyway, bit okay. Deep.
Oh, wait,
there's
ever.
My share.
Siri's, the Siri's going off.
Siri's checking in.
I will never eat a peanut butter sandwich near you.
What if it was my peanut butter sandwich?
Yeah, I'm not going to rub it on your face.
Well,
trust me.
You ought to not.
No, I wouldn't, because I'm not a bully.
These days, I'll write a song about it.
Well, speaking of peanut butter, and I don't know how this related or why it popped up, but...
Oh, I'm keen now.
No, well, I was just thinking about our trip that we've got coming up and all the lovely food we've got planned coming up.
Yes.
So we are off to Byron Bay for a much-needed getaway that also coincides with my birthday, my big 3-8. So officially, I would officially say I'm late 30s. Even though I've probably been late 30s for a little while, I think 38, you can't get away with saying mid-30s anymore. Like, 36 was probably the cutoff.
I think as a society, though, we've come a long way. And there's two... I guess there's a couple of indicators there. And first one is that if you go back to, I think, 1985...
Jesus.
When the Golden Girls started and we were about 1 year old,
yeah,
they were in their mid-50s and they were grey. Not, you know, and they were older women.
Well,
except for Blanche, she had, you know, the red hair.
They're
and
portrayed
stuff.
Differently. And
right.
People live a younger existence for longer.
Right. But flash forward to now and the show and just like that, you have women of the same age category and look how they're presented now.
Totally true.
So on one hand, I would argue 38 means jack all. You're at least another 20 years in your baby.
That's true. And I'm totally aware of that. And speaking of and just like that, we've both been avidly watching it. And now that the series has ended, we'll be doing a bit of a recap.
We
bit
will.
Bit of a thoughts analysis on and just like that on our next episode. So... stick around for that as well.
Absolutely.
But what I'm excited about the Byron Bay trip.
Oh, me too. I've never actually stayed a night down there, so I'm really keen to be spending two evenings down there.
Don't get too excited because I feel that I'm sure I've had this discussion with Craig already, and I might have had this discussion with you as well, but Byron is beautiful.
Yes.
But Byron is also a shithole.
Yes. I think
totally
that's part
overrated.
Of life. There's like a juxtaposition going on there. It's just like there is no middle ground.
Yeah, and I think it's got the most welfare recipients like within that region for that town or whatever,
yes.
Something like that. But it is Byron is generally a bit of a shithole. But we have secured a beautiful farm.
We have.
And we'll be staying on that.
We've got a few bookings?
Yes, we've got a few bookings. What have we got? Lunch planned en route down there. We've got dinner planned
the second following
night.
Yes.
I think the first night we're just going to be relaxing and probably having drinks at home on the farm. Saturday night we might go out and do a bit of, you know, we might have a drink with the locals on a Saturday night.
I'm down for it.
I'm totally down for it. I've already got outfits planned. Well, I've got planning in the works.
Oh, okay.
And I have to tell you, I did do another order 2 days ago for some new outfits.
She lasted a week.
Yes. I've got some new clothes coming. I've planned some outfits. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to some really nice restaurants by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Like, they look lovely. And I'm looking forward just to getting down there and relaxing and listen, after the start of this year and not feeling like... I came out of Christmas feeling like I haven't even had a break because it's been so full on with COVID and lockdown, and I've had COVID. You're lucky you've been okay. So I just need a break. So I'm really looking forward to Byron. We might even do a special podcast from Byron.
I think it's a fantastic idea because one of the other things that we're trying to hook up if we can is to have some sort of in-house masseurs come and visit. The four of us will be down there.
No, I've already booked a massage.
What?
I've booked
Did you fail to tell me this part? I missed that part of the conversation. No, there was the other day, there were so many messages, I just couldn't read them.
Yeah, I think you missed it because I confirmed. We've got massage.
In-house?
Booked. No.
Well, there goes that idea. There'll be no podcast recording down there. I'm sorry, guys. This series is done.
Well, no. We've got massages booked for the Saturday.
Fabulous.
So, like, I mean, Saturday in...
Because if we got, like, went into a couple's room or something, we could just have our heads through the holes and just do a bit of a recording.
You're talking about massages or something else?
Well, look, you might hear some sloppy sounds, but...
No, but we had massages. Remember the three of us had massages up the Sunshine Coast, and all that was between us was a sheet.
Yes.
And I tipped my masseuse at the end of the night. At the end of the day. Because
Because he earned it.
No, because she was so lovely. And I felt like, you know, how much of this money do you get? So I gave her $5.
And they were that place that was doing the remedial massages only for the free little benefits from your private health. I do like those ones.
Oh, that's... Yeah, my private health covers
a lot of
massages.
Remember when I said, oh, you have to wait an hour before you can pay because you can't do too many transactions together?
We can't talk about that.
A little bit of fraud. It's okay. Yeah. I support that business. I'll go back next time.
No, it was good. It was a good massage. So I'm looking forward to having... Why go for a massage weekly?
I know. I think I must have missed that one, that boat for the gays as well. It seems like I'm missing all of them because so many seem to have massages on the regular.
Yeah.
I crave it. And I did it for a really small amount of time, but... It just dropped off.
No, did it drop off?
So what was the point in going back if it's dropped off?
I hope you picked it up and put it back on.
Detached my penis. Anyone know that song?
No, no one knows that song. I go for a massage every week, and then once a week I also go for an hour's reflexology. Because I wear a heel all the time, and usually a point, my feet are fucked. Like,
you wear a point, but you never have one.
Ba-boom-tsh. Ah-ha-ha. But no, I need a foot massage. Probably I could up it to twice a week, but my healthcare benefit would run out really quickly on that.
I really need to create a rhythm here and get into it. Like I had I had my PT yesterday.
Yes.
And so I'm really sore today.
Let's talk about that PT session, Brett.
Well, I'm not going to say my PT's name, but if he wishes to sponsor us, then perhaps he'll get a little plug. He's very good at what he does. He's all right on the eye as well.
He's lovely. He's such a lovely guy. Such a lovely guy. But, so, yesterday, I had a very active day, because Brent and I share Apple Watch fitness statistics with each other.
And we've aligned our goals.
Yes, so we're...
The other week.
Our percentages... You know, one might be on 80, one might be on 90, and it's equal to both goals. It's equal to all the same goals.
Yeah.
So, yesterday I was very committed to starting the week correctly. I was standing up while working. I was using my sit-stand position.
Have you noticed it once?
No.
Oh.
I was standing up. At lunchtime, I went downstairs to my gym and went for a run. I did
very
a little HIIT YouTube class. So I was very close to, and if you wear an Apple Watch, you'll know what we're talking about. I was very close to closing all three of my goal rings on my Apple Watch. And I noticed Brent was his stats were extremely low. He'd stood for probably the same amount of time as me throughout the day. His exercise ring, though, and his calorie burning ring were nowhere near. And then I laid down in the evening to retire with a cup of tea, and I start getting notifications. Brent has just finished a 700 calorie workout. I call bullshit fucking straight away. So
my
I'm like,
PT, such a great PT.
To burn 700 calories in one workout, you basically need to compete in a triathlon.
I did.
You did not. And fuck, I was cranky because I had tried all day to close my rings, and at the last minute, Brent swoops in and basically closes every ring. It says he'd done like 200% exercise for the day, you know. And I'm like, so I questioned him, and I'm like, what is going on with this exercise? What is going on with your stats? Are you fudging your stats? Now, I believe what's happened is Brent's been partway through a PT session and his watch has recognised that he was doing functional strength training. So it's kicked in and started counting calories and movement. Well, started counting movement towards calories. Brent then didn't indicate to his watch that he had completed the workout and then walked to a restaurant for dinner, sat there and ate dinner, and then walked home, and then went, oh, I finished a workout. So that whole duration of him walking to the restaurant, eating dinner, and walking home again, the watch thought he was doing functional training, which was measuring calories, which is why it said 700 calories. So
the true story here...
You're
to
a
be,
liar.
To be...
You're a liar.
Don't you put peanut butter on my face.
Yeah, I'm getting that loaf of bread out now.
So the true story is, most of that's accurate, but this is actually what happened. So 45-minute PT session, I'm 30 minutes in, and I'm like, shit, I forgot to start the watch. So it was a manual start of the watch for strength.
Yep.
For my last
15 minutes
of my session.
Yes.
Anyhow, finish the session. I go back down to my apartment and I go, yes, we'll go to dinner. I just need to lay down for 10 minutes.
Yep.
So I lay down for 10 minutes. Meanwhile, the watch is tick, 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 tick. And I'm oblivious to this because I've manually started it. It may not give me reminders or whatever, or I'm not sure how it works. But anyhow, so I have a little lay down. I'm just resting my body. Like, I'm hot and, you know, trying to cool down the aircon, blah, blah, blah. Then get up and go, all right, going to dinner. So we walk down to dinner via an apartment that we're, you know, potentially looking to rent because we're trying to move at the moment. So walk past there, look at that. Oh yeah, not bad. I don't like that. This part's all right, blah, blah, blah. Plenty of bathtubs for sale. And then we, proceed to go to dinner, sit down, order. Pretty sure I consume 700 calories. But then I, finish up, walk home. Just after I get home and sit down, I get your text.
Yeah.
You just close your rings. How'd you close your rings? And I'm like, no, I've been working out, blah, blah, blah. And then I sort of thought about it and went, how did I close those rings?
Yes.
And that's when I realised that it's ultra sensitive.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have stopped it if it wasn't for your text. So I potentially could have...
You would have done like a 10,000 calorie workout.
And I feel really skinny for it.
Yeah, I know, but that
like,
defeats
the facts,
Dan.
Facts are facts.
Today, I was determined to have those rings closed as soon as possible.
Today I was assaulted and harassed by your fucking notifications.
Good, because I went
on... He's done a 3-point-something-kilometer outdoor walk. He's done a 1.3-kilometer indoor walk. He's closed his rings.
I did three...
How interesting.
I did three friggin' indoor walks today. And by indoor walks, I keep hitting indoor walk, and I'm actually running. But I'm hitting indoor walk. On my iWatch.
You got, like, treads on your carpet. Like, where are you walking to?
My
running
gym.
To?
I go downstairs to my gym.
Oh, right.
I've got a gym here.
So do you see it as an indoor walk because you are physically indoors?
Yeah, but I should be hitting indoor run.
Yeah, right.
So Yeah, I did 3 workouts today just to make sure I closed my rings. Honestly.
If you went to Chermside for Thursday night shopping, not that you would these days anyway, but hypothetically it was 1998 and it was busy and thing to do, would you go indoor walk as you walk around the shopping centre?
You can do, and the way it measured, because I did a little test today, is it measures as you're going with your moving your arms up and down as if you're walking. The more veracity you have with your arms moving up and down.
So, that character that did not speak, I don't think, in Seinfeld many years ago, and she would walk around and not move her arms, and it was like she was carrying suitcases.
Her eye watch
would say have, like, nothing. 3 steps.
Yep. And she could be on an indoor walk for 30 minutes, and it would say she's only walked 100 metres.
Interesting. Because facts are facts, she would have no calories burnt on her watch. She's probably quite large these days.
Yeah, exactly. But I think we do well. We do well. We're both trying very hard to be a lot more active. And just, can I just say that for today, my watch says that I'm 119% complete and yours is 41%.
Well, my PT and I have a competition starting tomorrow for 7 days, so maybe you can nominate to have one with me as well. I don't know how you do it, but there's a button.
Compete. Yeah, I can go compete with Brett Sharif.
Oh, well. Well, I don't know who that is, so I can't wait to find out how you go with him. But maybe we should all do it and then see where we land and, you know, really try to drive that.
I will do it in time. At the moment, I'm really trying to just close my rings every day. So I'm really just trying to compete with myself at the moment. But I do like checking your stats to see how you're going, because we generally stand for It is motivation. It's very motivational. We stand for about the same amount of time per day. There are some days, now that I'm working from home a lot, there are days that I actually just don't want to have my watch on.
Oh, I know.
And I really can't, because if I've not got my watch on for an hour, I'm like, great, there's an hour of stats lost.
Yes. It's hard, isn't it? Because I do find that the watch is kind of a double-edged sword.
I know.
It always has been. Like, I like getting some of those stats and stuff, but it took me a long time and a lot of tailoring in terms of it actually being a trigger for anxiety.
It does.
Massively.
And I still have to take it off in the shower, because I know they're waterproof and I know a lot of people shower with them.
Oh, I don't.
I've got a lot of friends that do shower with them, but this Milanese band gets caught on my chest hair and it's very painful in the shower.
So this is how we're going to end tonight's show. This is a question. I like to deal with hypotheticals. So, like, even on the weekend, I had a vegan barbecue with some friends of mine who moved to Brisbane, back to Brisbane not long ago, even though they're about to depart and leave Brisbane again.
That looks really good, though.
It was good.
Vegan barbecue.
So we were at the Kangaroo Point Cliffs.
Yes.
Out lovely, nice Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
And there's abseiling happening there.
Love
as they
to do that. I've done
and
it once.
And so, as the food... Oh, really?
Yes.
As the food was being finalised on the barbecue... finalised. I don't know how you finish your meals.
You're so corporate. Is my meal finalised yet?
Why not? Anyhow, and I said, turned to my friend and said, hypothetical, if that girl who's currently trying to climb the cliff, she's about halfway up at that point, so 6-7 metres, if she fell fatally,
yes,
would you still eat your meal?
No.
Very interesting responses, because I've asked 4 people and now it's 50-50 down the middle of what they would do.
I can't fathom eating a meal after I've watched someone just die.
Because what I'm adamant of doing is that if that had actually happened, if I had cursed her by making that hypothetical up and it had happened, I would have boomeranged him chewing while she was being attended to.
Yeah, see, that's another reason, because I'm imagining the news channels would show up and I don't want to... They'd be broadcasting from Kangaroo Point a tragic death, and I'd be the fat Chase pig down on the right hand side eating a burger. Like, yum, yum,
I did
yum,
not think
yum,
of that angle.
Yum, yum.
But my watch says I burnt 700 calories, so why shouldn't I have that burger, I tell you?
Yeah.
Anyhow, the hypothetical I was going to put to you, this is also quite gross, traumatizing, whatever.
Nice.
Does anyone actually wash their wristband of their watches, because you know, get like a bit of sweat, a bit of skin buildup.
Yeah.
And I say that because often when I'm wearing my watch, particularly after a PT session, and I go to hug my dog, my greyhound, Florence, she's obsessed with sniffing it.
You need to wash it.
Do I?
And I can't wash mine because it's the Milanese bed.
So it does stink. So next time you and Florence are in the same room, you're putting that wristband to her and seeing what she senses.
But it's
and
metal.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it hasn't got mush inside it.
Oh, I antibacterial wipe everything quite often. Like, I antibacterial wipe my phone.
Oh.
Daily.
Oh.
Because I got jam on it the other day, and I was really upset, and I could not get the feeling of jam off my phone.
It's better than peanut butter on your face, I can assure you. Can assure you of that.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyway, send in your response. Do you wash your watch band? Should you be? Are we unhygienic if we don't? What does your dog think of it?
That's right. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, which is the only place we're broadcasting to now, so you must be listening to it on Spotify, you know what? We would really love you to follow our Spotify channel and give us a 5-star rating.
Well, just be honest. Give us a rating at all.
Yeah, well, if you're going to give us a rating, 4 or 5 stars.
Oh, look.
Otherwise,
I love feedback. Tell me why you hate me. Tell me why you love me.
No, dear.
Tell me why you don't have feelings at all. And we can explore that in, you know, a psychology session.
But that doesn't call for a bad rating on Instagram, on Spotify. Oh, okay. And before we go on that, when I post questions or do you have a question on our Those 80s Gays Instagram site, can you stop replying, please? Oh, that's for our audience.
I don't even
have access
to our joint account. We haven't got any legal binding agreements, you know, drawn up for our 0.00000027 cents of credit that might have accumulated.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like I'm but a viewer.
All right, well then, any revenue comes straight to me, viewer.
You
heard that first on Those 80s Gays, hosted by the one and only Danny P. Warner.
Anyway, I like applying to my own questions.
Well, they're not your questions. I'm asking the fans, and all I keep seeing is you replying to everything.
I have a lot to say, that's why I'm in the podcast in the first place.
So true. Thank you for listening again, and look out for our next episode.
Love you, listeners.
Bye.
Bye.